My name is Dr. Kamlesh Patel. A lot of people call me Dr. Cam Patel, and some people even call me Cam, which is no problem at all. But I have a practice in Bucks County and Washington Crossing, Pennsylvania, actually where George Washington crossed the Delaware to fight the British, so it's a very historic town. I also teach at Temple University Dental School, on a part-time basis, along with a full-time practice.
Full disclosure, you are my dentist. I've been going to you for several years now, but who better to talk about dentistry, I figured.
Absolutely.
How often should a person see a dentist, and do you have a rule of thumb for how often they should have their teeth cleaned?
Yeah, the ADA recommends usually that you go at least once a year, just get a basic routine checkup and maybe a routine cleaning. We usually recommend getting your teeth cleaned at least twice a year if possible, mm-hmm. because it's very easy for plaque and biofilm and all that kind of stuff to build up, and just to keep a track of any cavities or gum issues that you might have. If a person has insurances, actually, a lot of them are actually switching to three times a year for cleanings and so forth because they want people to have more preventive care, yeah. just to bypass any big problems.
What about toothbrushes? I have heard that you should throw them out after a certain period of time.
Yeah, you know, certain toothbrushes, we usually recommend soft toothbrushes. They're probably the best and the most harmless ones of them. Some of them have these indicator inks on there where after a certain amount of time, when the ink goes to a certain level, you can throw them away. Sometimes you'll notice a splaying of toothbrushes. You know, where your bristles, I mean, it's almost like a comfortable pair of shoes where they're kind of worn out, but you still like it. But, you know, once they start splaying, the bristles start splaying, you should throw them away also. Just have to be careful with medium to hard toothbrushes because they can damage your teeth in general. You know, with toothbrush abrasion, maybe even taking away gingiva in your gums and so forth. And usually those kind of toothbrushes will only recommend for people that have issues with like manual dexterity and stuff like that.
And I would imagine after you get sick, if you have the cold or something like that, it makes sense to toss your toothbrush, get a new one.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. You know, that's a possibility. Some of these electric toothbrushes that are out there, they even have these little UV sanitizers, which can actually pop your brush head out and pop them into the UV sanitizer, and that pretty much cleans them on a daily basis.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I might have to check that out. How long should we brush?
We recommend at least 2 minutes a day, and I know it's, you know, everybody's so busy and so forth, but 2 minutes is really not that long.
No.
So if you want to set yourself up with a timer or a stopwatch, and in that 2 minutes, we recommend is 4 sections of your mouth, the upper right, upper left, lower right, lower left. Mm-hmm. You spend 30 seconds on each section, and out of that 30 seconds, 10 seconds you can spend on the back of the teeth, 10 on top of the teeth, and 10 in front of the teeth. So, you know, 10 seconds per area is not that bad.
Yeah,
and
really,
we recommend usually twice a day.
Yeah. You told me years ago that I brush too hard.
Yes. That's kind of been a normal tendency. I think people sometimes want to get that fresh feeling. And, you know, and I'm a victim myself. Sometimes I'll go maybe 3 or 4 minutes just to make sure we get everything off and so forth. And that's kind of a normal tendency.
Should we brush our tongues?
Yes, definitely. On your tongue, there's usually a biofilm that builds up, and those biofilms are filled with microorganisms. If you use a mouthwash and so forth, they'll only usually remove the top layer. So brushing your tongue is probably a great idea, and there's different ways to do it. You can use a soft bristle toothbrush. If you do that, you know, just go back and forth and a little bit to the left and right and just get everything clean. There's been research that shows that even tongue scrapers actually help, and you can get those over the counter.
Do you recommend a certain kind of floss?
It depends on your situation. You know, there are all different kinds of floss. There are whitening flosses. There are regular flosses, waxed, unwaxed. You know, if you have a lot of fillings or restorations and tight contacts, sometimes we'll recommend using a wax one like Glide or something like that, which actually gets in a little bit easier. There's also tape, which we usually recommend for implants. However, if you're going to use a dental tape for implants, try to use an unwaxed kind of tape so it gets in there smoother. And mainly because of the outline and the anatomy of the implant is probably easier to maintain.
You're talking about something other than, I call them those little Christmas trees that look like Roto-Rooters that you use on your implants.
Like those, the inner dental brushes. Yeah, you can use the inner dental brushes also. You have to be careful with those. Sometimes with those and like toothpicks and so forth, you can have a different kind of abrasion. You know, I know a lot of people are very comfortable using toothpicks after they eat and so forth just to get food particles in there. But that little triangular peak of gum that you have can sometimes get invaginated and you can create more spaces. And there's been reports where you can actually even wear away parts of your tooth.
Oh. So you say tapes. They're called tapes, implant tapes.
Yeah, dental tapes are good, you know, but, you know, basic flossing, you can get away with 90% of stuff with regular floss.
What about toothpaste? There's so many toothpastes. I mean, you go to the toothpaste aisle and you're almost overwhelmed.
Exactly. It is very overwhelming. You know, there's a million different kinds of toothpaste. You know, the basic toothpaste we usually recommend for people with, you know, basic cavity problems is fluoride, something that's anti-cavity and so forth. I can tell you when I was coming through dental school, you know, they were teaching us back then that, you know, you really didn't even need to use toothpaste to brush your teeth because toothpaste was more detergent and soapy kind of things where it just made our breasts feel better, our teeth feel fresher and stuff like that. It was the main thing was just making sure you use your toothbrush properly, even with warm water, get everything off. But nowadays, now there's certain chemicals and ingredients that are actively in there that kind of help fight cavities and gum disease and plaque and build up. So based on your situation, you know, if you have gum disease, you know, we recommend ones that fight, like tartar control, plaque, gingivitis. If you have sensitivity issues, something basic like Sensodyne. If your teeth are relatively clean and you don't really have too many dental fillings and so forth, sometimes you can get away with using the whitening toothpaste. There's also ones for people who use nicotine where, you know, they remove the stains a little better. And there's also ones for people who have a dry mouth. A lot of times your medications, hopefully like biotin, which kind of work also.
And what about pronamel?
It is. So now things are getting into this enamel remineralization and so forth.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of them that work. However, once if you do have a cavity, you know, usually if it's at least half of the way into enamel, from there, you can kind of keep things at bay. Once you get past into that second layer, it's kind of hard for those toothpaste to actually remineralize the enamel. So that's something that you probably would have to get fixed by your dentist.
And mouthwash, as long as we're covering everything.
Yeah.
I know that some of them have a high alcohol content.
Yes, so we have to be careful with that. Alcohol is something that helps fight bacteria. So sometimes it is good to have that. And there's actually two different kinds of mouthwashes. There's the cosmetic kind and the therapeutic kind. The cosmetic ones, they have some even whitening mouthwashes and so forth in there. So not too many people use that as much. But the therapeutic ones, like the over-the-counter ones, like Listerine, Scope Signal. There's also ones that you can get a prescription for them if you do have gum disease. But most of them do the same, the basic things where they control plaque, maybe gingivitis. Some of them help with tooth decay. There's some fluoride-based mouthwashes out there also. And, you know, naturally, a lot of them help with bad breath also.
Okay.
The only thing we do recommend is that if you have a child that's under 6 years old, try not to use any mouthwash if possible.
Oh.
Only because they have a tendency to swallow.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes
sense. So you have
to
be careful with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you have a child that has a high cavity content and you want to try to give them some fluoride-based, you know, with it under controlled parent or guardian supervision, they can use a fluoride-based mouthwash like ACT or something like that.
Okay.
And getting back to toothpaste and mouthwashes, you know, if you're looking to purchase one, just try to make sure you find something with some kind of an ADA seal on there. Even some of the toothbrushes have those ADA seals on there because those are the ones that have actually introduced scientific evidence to our ADA Council on Scientific Affairs just to make sure that they're safe and the efficacy is pretty good.
Dentists sometimes can be the first line of defense, so to speak. They can see into the mouth anything that might be signaling disease or something like that. Talk to me about that, and if you could use any examples of anything that you've seen.
I mean, one of the, you know, the biggest things is oral cancer. And that could be primarily an oral cancer thing, or it could be metastasis from another form of cancer from the body and so forth also.
Yeah.
So that's why it's probably good to go at least once a year and to get a basic checkup just to, you know, ascertain if there's any tissue changes, anything else going on with your health and so forth. So kind of important. We did actually have a patient come in, no names, of course. He came at the temple and he came in for impressions for some teeth. And he had this, the resident came up to me and said, it looks like there's something that's a film-based thing, that they're not keeping gums cleaned. So I went up and took a look, and all the gums were filled with a heavy-duty plaque and buildup and so forth where there were no teeth at all. First thing we did was, you know, we can clinically and visually see what's going on, but there are tests that have to be rendered to ascertain if it is something negative, and it did turn out to be cancer. And a lot of times these, you know, a lot of times we'll take a look. Well, patients might even say there's something funny, like a pimple or this or that, you know, from signs and symptoms and so forth. Yeah. But there's so many things that we can determine just by looking in the mouth that the patient may not be complaining about at all.
For example?
Growth, any kind of ulcerations,
yeah.
Anything unusual that's not even in the area of teeth or even at an x-ray. Where there's no negative connotation, sometimes we can just take a look and say, this doesn't look right. You know, maybe we should get a little biopsy or something like that, just to make sure.
Is that why you have patients sometimes lift their tongues?
That's one of the big areas where either the lateral borders of the tongues or the floor of the mouth, we can determine and see a lot of things. Some people will use these cancer screening lights also, which what they do is they, if there's any kind of negative cells or inflammatory cells, they'll show a different color. And then we refer to like oral pathology. And besides that, I mean, there's tons of other stuff that we can see also. Like a patient with gum disease that we might see in the mouth, usually 40% of those patients usually have one or more chronic condition also.
That they may not have known about, you mean?
Exactly.
Like diabetes, exactly. Maybe. I was just thinking a lot of people are diabetic and they don't know it, or they're pre-diabetic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, high blood sugar contents are, you know, ideal conditions for gums to grow and even to have gum infections and even vice versa. You know, diabetes can lead to periodontal disease, and periodontal disease can lead to gum disease. You know, every time we eat and drink something, we're ingesting stuff.
Yeah.
And the same thing with heart disease. You know, heart disease, it seems like 91% of patients with heart disease have gum disease also. So there is a link. And what happens to a lot of those patients also is that gum disease causes inflammation. Inflammation also leads to the bacteria are pretty much the same that cause plaque buildup in the arteries as it is in the mouth. So that inflammation in the arteries will constrict blood vessels, and there'll be less blood going to the heart, which increases the chance of a heart attack or a stroke.
This is a nice segue to talk about advances in dentistry and where you see dentistry going.
So many advances, you know, from the basic diagnostic standpoints, there are certain machines that we can also use. Besides, you know, we had a clinical eye, we had a little pick that we used to pick with checking for cavities.
Yeah.
The x-rays have gotten digital now, so it's much less radiation, probably one-third the amount of radiation that it used to get with regular film. And there's actually reports coming out from the FDA and the ADA now that you don't even need lead aprons, that the radiation is so low. You know, we do it as a natural circumstance because patients are used to having that big, thick lead apron on them, but you know, the radiations are very, very low from that standpoint. Also, you can take those films, throw it up on a computer. Digitally, we can manipulate things to see certain parts and certain aspects of the tooth, but either colorizing them, sharpening them, contrasting them, almost like photoshopping.
Oh.
Fascinating way to also, you know, educate the patient that way also. And you know, it's safe, you know, not only safe with from the radiation standpoint, but even safe, you know, when you talk about patients who are pregnant and so forth in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and even though they're coming out with reports that, you know, you don't even have to put aprons on pregnant patients, you know, it's that much more comforting when we still use the old double apron technique for patients that they don't have to worry about their baby.
Right, right. And I would think that the hygienist, they could stay in the room now, right? I would imagine they still go out of the room, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've you know, there are times when sometimes those sensors, the digital sensors, are kind of hard to hold for the patient and so forth. So we'll just hold them by hand, because we know everything's relatively safe from that standpoint.
What do you see for the future of dentistry? I wouldn't imagine that robots would be taking over anytime soon, AI.
Believe it or not, they're coming out. Basically, there are CAT scans that are specifically for the mouth. They're robotic machines. They just had the first robotic implant being placed not too long ago, and a company such as Nobel is actually introducing that to a bunch of surgeons. And they line everything up with the x-rays, with the sensors. They have the ground, the templates, and the robot actually places the implants in there. So sometimes in areas where there's very limited bone, or maybe there's a nerve in the way, or limited access and so forth, you can get pretty good precision with that.
But you don't see a robot taking your place yet.
No, there always has to be a human factor, you know, as far as that's concerned. No. I mean, who knows? Maybe eventually, you know, we can do a third-party filling of the cavity and so forth, you know. But, I mean, the advances, some of the other advances, you know, we have computer-assisted anesthesia, where basically there's little bits of local anesthesia get titrated through this little computer device into the skin. It works better, and it does actually, it's less traumatic. There are ways to detect cavities from certain laser beams that are injected or thrown into the actual enamel and dentin, which kind of fluoresces out a certain way. Certain digital x-rays actually contrast cavities in a different way also. There's intraoral cameras that sometimes will show up different colors of gums and if there's any kind of tissue changes and so forth. I mean, digital dentistry is pretty much on its way.
Do you find, though, that dentists are embracing a lot of this new technology?
They are. You know, sometimes you have the old-fashioned, old-school dentists who have their tried-and-true techniques and, you know, they don't want to change and so forth. And, you know, pretty much all the techniques work. And, you know, every dentist is different. Every patient is different. You know, sometimes patients don't like that. We've actually come across patients where they don't like new technology.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say their old dentist always did it this way. And even though the newer techniques are faster, more accurate, less traumatic, they would still rather have it done the old ways. Yeah. So some patients aren't into grasping new technology.
Yeah.
And it also so works both ways.
Yeah.
But it's only making things easier, better, more predictable. So it's definitely helping us. And if it helps us, it helps the patients also. Things are getting really excited, you know, out there as far as all the advances in dentistry. I mean, there are things where you can get crowns made in a single day while you're sitting at the office, so you don't have to come back multiple times. We have scanners for dentures now where you can actually get your teeth scanned with a digital device. And we have 3D printers that are out there nowadays that can actually print out dentures.
Oh, and print out models
and so forth.
Wow.
So things are definitely progressing, and I can see, you know, things definitely changing within the next 10 years and making things easier. The only thing I would recommend is that I definitely do recommend, because of all the, and we talked about this before, with all the medical issues that can occur from not only from oral problems, but, you know, that leading to patients getting checked out by their medical doctors and so forth, just to make sure everything's okay, that we try to definitely, you know, go to your dentist, get checked out at least once a year, just to make sure everything's okay. This way it can lead to possible less medical problems. And if you do have medical issues, definitely go to your dentist also to make sure that everything's okay, so it doesn't exacerbate any kind of medical conditions you may have.
Well, you were fabulous. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks. Thank you.